Thanks for joining us for Season 6 of the ACED IT Podcast. ACED IT is brought to you via the Justice Community Opioid Innovation Network, or JCOIN, with funding from the National Institute on Drug Abuse. I'm Danielle Rudes, your host, coming to you from Sam Houston State University in Texas and bringing you amazing science from today's top scholars and researchers in easy-to-understand language. The theme of Season 6 is diversity, equity, and inclusivity within the justice and health research field. I can't wait to share this season with you. Thanks for listening. Now, let's get started. Interesting fact. People with opioid use disorder have one of the highest dropout rates from substance use disorder treatment. This dropout rate is even higher for Black and Latinx people. And the number of women with OUD is rapidly rising. That's where our story takes shape today. We know the surges for women with OUD are occurring, yet we know very little about gender disparities regarding and or during treatment. And by treatment, I mostly mean medication for opioid use disorder, or MOUD, and counseling. Our pronounced lack of knowledge about women and OUD has led many policymakers and public health experts to begin asking researchers to systematically examine the experiences of women with OUD treatment. Existing research on gender disparities in treatment largely focuses on substance use disorder, not specifically on opioid use disorder. From this work, however, we know a few factors that influence completion of treatment for women. These include age, race and ethnicity, pregnancy status, and mental health status or symptoms. Similarly, there are program factors that play a role as well, including treatment intensity, retention in treatment, targeted services, and support for parental roles. Okay, let me continue setting the stage here. The most common medication for MOUD is methadone. Methadone has a lot of benefits, like decreasing both substance use and criminal behavior, but research to date tells us very little about the impact methadone has on treatment progress and completion. There is even less scholarship that looks at gender differences with methadone in treatment progress or completion. Some evidence regarding gender disparities within MOUD found no differences in retention, or the results were mixed. But right now, that's kind of all we got. So, without studies to tell us how race and ethnicity and gender matter in MOUD treatment processes and outcomes, what are we to do? I'll tell you what. We call in the experts. Eric Guerrero from the Research to End Health Disparities Corp and his colleagues set out to understand more about exactly these challenges. To do this, they use the Healthcare Disparities Conceptual Framework. Now, if you haven't heard of that before, don't worry. It's fairly straightforward. The Healthcare Disparities Conceptual Framework has three stages. One, detect. Two, understand. And three, reduce. Of course, detect is the stage where you notice healthcare disparities in a vulnerable population. Understand is about comprehending client risk and program capacity factors. And finally, reduce is about lessening disparities through the provision of comprehensive services via high capacity programs. The researchers use the first two stages, detect and understand, to locate gender disparities in progress or completion of treatment and figure out which factors are associated with progress and completion for women and also for men. Specifically, the researchers were trying to find out the extent to which there are gender disparities in making progress toward and completing a treatment plan for clients who use opioids. Remember where we started this episode? We do know that in general, women, especially Black or Latinx women, are more likely to have less progress and lower rates of treatment completion. So the researchers here had to get their data from somewhere. And it turns out Los Angeles, California is a great site for this. Los Angeles has one of the largest and most diverse systems of care in the United States. Regarding substance use disorder, there are three program service types offered there. They have specialty outpatient treatment programs that offer MOUD using methadone. They have outpatient services from treatment programs mainly offering non-medication counseling. And finally, they have office-based physician services that offer MOUD using buprenorphine and naltrexone. So, Guerrero and his team used client administrative data from the Los Angeles County Participant Reporting System, LACPRS, and they also used something called the Substance Abuse Treatment to End Disparities Program Survey, or the ISATED. It's a data set. The data the researchers used came from a bigger study that was funded by NIDA that focused on substance use disorder treatment programs serving communities made up of mostly non-white individuals. The study we're focused on in this episode used multi-year and multi-level cross-sectional data. Essentially, what that means is that the data came from several years. In this case, 2011, 2013, 2015, and 2017, and the data contained information from both the program level and the individual client level. But you already know what a cross-sectional data source is if you think about it. It's the U.S. Census. That data is collected in various years and locations all across the United States. The data presented in the census comes in several ways so that you can look at particular groups of people or particular regions or areas. Okay, let me get back to the Guerrero study. Their total sample included 13,000 clients over the age of 12 and 135 different substance use disorder treatment programs. There were 34 programs offering outpatient counseling services to clients with opioid use disorder and 101 outpatient programs that offered primarily methadone. Although the total sample had 135 programs, the researchers used a random sample stratified by program service type, which led to a final sample of 80 programs, with 20 being counseling and 60 being methadone. I know, random sample stratified, ugh. All those are ivory tower words. Random just means chosen at random. Sample means just that they took a part of the total number of programs. So they had 135 and they whittled it down to 80. And stratified. It just means that they selected the sample, making sure to get some programs from a few different types, just in case the random sample ended up being biased in some way by providing more of one type of program than the other. The researchers looked at two main dependent or outcome variables that measured treatment outcome at discharge. One, the client made progress toward completing the treatment and recovery plan. And two, the client completed the treatment and recovery plan. The researchers used several official discharge codes to create these variables. And since they were looking at gender disparities, the main independent variable was the client's self-reported sex. Now, we have the data and the variables figured out. Let's get to the analysis. The researchers conducted several different analyses. The first was a comparative analysis using statistical techniques like the ANOVA and the chi-square, which look at differences across different individual characteristics of clients. When looking at the main research question, the researchers used a multi-level logistic regression. A multi-level logistic regression is one where there are different levels of independent variables, like how I mentioned earlier that they had program level and client level variables. The logistic aspect of the regression just means that the dependent or outcome variable is binary, like it only has two outcomes, either yes or no. All right, so for the first piece of the analysis, the researchers found several things. First, clients who were in methadone programs reported lower rates in progress toward completion and completion than those in counseling programs. There were also fewer women in the sample who were receiving methadone than receiving counseling. Over time, more clients were receiving methadone, while the percentage of clients receiving counseling stayed relatively flat. The percentage of female clients receiving methadone also increased over time, while the percentage of women receiving counseling decreased. The researchers also saw significant differences in the racial and ethnic composition of what treatment clients were receiving. Clients who were white and those who were Latinx represented the bulk of clients in both treatment types. Now for the big stuff, the gender differences in treatment progress and completion. There were three models the researchers used for looking at this. The first looked at progress versus no progress. The second looked at completion versus no progress. And the third looked at completion versus progress. There were no real differences in model three, completion versus progress. So we'll only take a look at the first two. In that first model, self-identified female clients were more likely to make progress toward completion than male clients. When comparing the two types of services, though, female clients had lower odds of making progress than male clients with methadone. In the second model, looking at completion versus no progress, there were differences seen when looking at gender, race and ethnicity, and service type. Compared to males, female clients had lower odds of completing their treatment when they were receiving methadone versus counseling. When looking at race in the second model, the researchers also saw that Latinx individuals had lower odds of completion compared to non-Latinx. Interestingly, there was also a relationship seen where clients who reported homelessness had lower odds of making progress and completion. As I mentioned when talking about the results, clients who were on methadone had lower odds of making progress or completing the program. The researchers believe this could be because of differences in the treatment experience of the low-income, historically disadvantaged clients in the sample. It could also have been because of the differences in the quality of care between counseling and methadone programs in largely non-white communities. There is research that suggests low-income non-white women are more likely to achieve treatment goals when they are getting counseling sessions. There might also be different definitions of progress or completion for counseling and methadone. For methadone, it might be that it's not just about relapsing or overdosing from opioids, while counseling might be all about drug-free recovery. Methadone treatment for opioid use disorder is the most cost-effective treatment. When you're looking at the diverse sample, like the researchers were, the self-identified female clients may have had more progress and completion because there was more ancillary support from counseling. This pushes forth the idea that there needs to be gender-competent services, especially in methadone treatment. A vast majority of opioid use disorder clients in publicly funded treatment programs in Los Angeles, for example, receive methadone, making it even more essential to develop health policies and additional resources for methadone programs to meet the unique needs of low-income women. Women need health policies that reimburse programs for case management, childcare services, and psychological services. These services are needed to address women's high rate of interpersonal trauma and childcare and parenting-related stress. There needs to be promotion of a culture of gender-specific or gender-sensitive treatment in methadone programs. People seeking treatment are individuals, and their needs as a whole need to be addressed, not just their medication needs. Communities, service providers, and treatment staff need to keep this discussion going and continue striving for the gender-responsive opioid use disorder treatment that women, especially minority women, so desperately need and absolutely deserve.
Thanks for tuning in to ACEDIT, where we translate science into sense. You can find ACEDIT anywhere you listen to podcasts and check out our other offerings on JTEC. That's www.jcoinctc.org/JTEC. That's J-T-E-C. We consider it our mission to help everyone learn. On JTEC, you'll find e-learning courses, webinars, and other trainings, all geared to help you learn about justice and health research and research methods quickly and easily. Special shout out here to George Mason University, home of the Coordination and Translation Center for JCoin, Sam Houston State University, and National Institute on Drug Abuse and the National Institute of Health. Also, if you'd like us to break down some research that you've read or produced in a future episode of the podcast, send it to me at druds@shsu.edu. See you next time on ACEDIT.